Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
Hi, I'm David Fresh, and I'm the pastor of North Sea Baptist Church in Stavanger, Norway. But I was born originally in Oklahoma to a family in the oil industry. We ended up moving around the world a little bit, living in a couple different states, a couple different countries in Europe. And that just gave me an understanding of God's great picture for the world and his kingdom that is worldwide, what he's doing, and a real excitement for it. And I grew up in some international churches. And then back in the U.S., I ended up in Texas. I went to Houston Baptist University for college, where I met my wife. Me and my wife, Scotty, both graduated in 2003. And since then, actually, we had our younger siblings all go as well. So we've had a number of our family members be a part of the HBU family. My brother and sister-in-law both got their bachelor's and their master's there. And my mother still works there at HBU. So, and hopefully my daughter might be going there in another year. After being at Houston Baptist, God had already called me into ministry. I knew it was going that direction. And we ended up, I started some of my divinity work at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary while I worked at Star of Hope Mission. And I was working at the men's center there, and I was working in the recovery program that we have. It's a fantastic program. Star of Hope does a lot of really good work, pouring in the lives of men, giving them a Christian foundation, and helping them to get out of addiction. And so I was working there as a Bible teacher, which was a great ministry opportunity, getting to really understand what's going on and getting to have a compassion for some of these men who've been in and out of prison and understand how God really helps to redeem them and restore them. Ended up moving in that into another position there where I was pastoring the men who had finished the program and helping to put them into jobs. Got to make some great connections with Hilton Hotel downtown and some others that were helping us place those men. But then God called me back overseas. And through a friend of mine who had actually been the youth pastor, a guy named Tom Blackaby, when I was a kid in Norway, where I'm at now, he had come back to Norway as the senior pastor. And we got in touch with each other, and he asked if I wanted to come serve as his associate pastor. And I did. And a year later, he moved on to serve in a family ministry. And the church ended up asking me to stay on as a senior pastor for a few years. And well, now it's been 15 years we've been here and just loving what God's doing here. But in the process of being here in our church, God has opened up a lot of other doors around the world. It was something I never expected. In a way, you think about a place like Norway, especially Stavanger, Norway. We are the kind of the center for oil in the North Sea, but we're not a big place. We're on the edge of the world, and yet God has opened up the world to me in a lot of neat ways. And I do a number of different things now in addition to pastoring my church, but they all revolve around two areas: international churches and leadership development. And those are the passions of my heart. And so when it comes to the international churches, not only do I pastor one, but I'm an executive with the International Baptist Convention, and my role is empowering leaders. So you have both of those passions of mine coming together there. We have churches across Europe and Latin America, but I'm also the executive director of the Missional International Church Network. And we have churches that largely were in the 1040 window, and that's where it started, Southeast Asia to the Middle East, but now we're expanding around the world. And that's we like to say it's a multi-inter non-denominational network. So the network doesn't have a denomination, but many of the churches do. And so we just have a fantastic time starting and strengthening international churches. And so I ended up getting to travel the world. Well, pre-COVID I did, just encouraging churches and leaders. And that's what I mostly work with, is the leaders in the churches, to help strengthen them, resource them, so that they can do all God has called them to do in those places. And then in addition to that, I also have my own ministry that's focused on raising up leaders in developing countries. And I just have, it's amazing getting to go to places like, I think the last place I was before COVID was Zimbabwe. And in Zimbabwe, I was training a few hundred church leaders there. But then not only that, God opened the door that I was in Harare, the capital, and I got to teach Christian leadership principles to the city council. And now the president's son has been in touch with our coordinator there, and they're asking if we could come back and do more leadership training in the political sphere. And that's also now spreading to Zambia, but then COVID happened, so we haven't followed up. So we're largely working with Christian leaders, but also getting in the political sphere, because it's really exciting that around the world, there's more receptiveness to Christian principles in the political, education, and business than maybe what you find in the U.S. right now, where I feel like there's a lot more anger or fear of that in the secular world. So that's been a lot of exciting things that we've gotten to do. If I can just real quick, Jerry, define what we mean by international church.
Yes.
When we say international church, that's not just a church that's in another country, but it's a church that's made up of people from many different nations. So in my church, we have about 30 different nations represented. We use English as the primary language because everybody in the church mostly speaks English. We have a few that struggle with it, but it's a common second language around the world. But in our church, you'll hear people before and after church, and they may be speaking any number of other languages. We have people from India to Malaysia to Germany to Uganda to Venezuela. So it's a really exciting, we say it's a picture of what heaven is going to look like. And there are these churches all over the world because about 1 in 8 people no longer live in their place of birth. And so there's this diaspora happening. There's people on the move. And our goal is, how do we make disciples of all nations? All nations are coming to us. So how do we gather them together, disciple them? And then many of them continue moving to place to place. And so we want to send them out to continue to make disciples and fulfill God's mission, the mission Christ gave us, to make disciples of all nations. So that's a lot of what excites me and what I'm all about.
David, you're an amazing man, and you have an amazing ministries, plural, going on. You live in Norway, so I'm in Houston, you're in Norway right now. I don't know, what would that be, 10, 11,000 miles?
Something like that, 7 hours of difference. That's what my mother will tell you, because...
And your mother is on staff at HBU, so yes. Give a shout out for her, please.
Yep, Bonnie Fresh is there, and she processes admissions, and actually, she does a lot of the admissions for international students. So I've had students from my church who my mom has had to process their applications.
That is so great. Tell us about your family before we continue.
Yeah, so my wife, Scotty, and I met at HBU, actually in Masterpiece Theater, was a student theater group we had there, Masterpiece, a play on words, of course. And I don't think they're around anymore, but Scotty and I still are. So that was great. We've been married. This will be our 20th anniversary this June. So we got married partway through our time at HBU and got to go through university together. It was a lot of fun. Our first daughter was born about a year after we graduated, and that's Lily, and she's 17 now. And our second daughter was born here in Norway, Ellie, who turns 14 on Saturday.
That is cool. Now, you are the senior pastor of the North Sea Baptist Church, executive director of the Missional International Church Network. We want people to check that out, micn.org. And president of Fresh Ministries International, and then director of empowering leaders and executive leadership team members for the International Baptist Convention. You graduated from HBU with a degree in mass media and computer information systems management in 2003. Man, did God take you out of HBU and send you all over the world? Did you ever expect all this to happen?
It wasn't our plan, Jerry. It's funny because actually my intention had been to go to seminary at Fuller and to do something in the film world. So I'd done the television production with Clay Porter there at HBU, and I was really excited to continue that. I was actually working in Fox Television on a show called Texas Justice. Some people might remember that, with Judge Larry Joe. And so I was working there as a production assistant and got to go out to California. I met Craig Duttweiler. He's a Christian, or was a Christian screenwriter. Was going to help him. He was very excited for me to come on board. But God had a different plan, and our first daughter came along. And so then I started at Southwestern for a bit. And yeah, so it ended up not going that way. I still love film. I still have some scripts up my sleeve I'd love to do. But ended up that passion of leadership came about, and I already had that passion. But then as God led me globally, I ended up at Fuller anyway, because they had a master's in global leadership. Mm-hmm. So that ended up being a really good fit.
Now, so the Scandinavian nations, I know atheist Phil Zuckerman at Pitzer College at Claremont. I've filmed with him there. You know, he embedded himself in one of the Scandinavian nations and, you know, wrote a great deal about how harmonious it was and how high the atheist rate was. We know, I think it's Greenland, where the atheist rate is 100% or nearly, you know, who knows where these statistics came from. But, you know, that's not really the whole story of Scandinavia. Can you tell us spiritually what's happening in the Scandinavian nations?
Yeah, sure. I mean, especially here in Norway, I can speak to that. And there's been a huge decline in church attendance, but that's not the whole story. And it's the same in the U.S. I was actually reading an article this last week, and I thought it was interesting how similar this statistic was. Church attendance and church membership has fallen. But out of people who are engaged in church, they're more serious about their faith than ever before. And so what we find is everybody was a Christian back in the day in Norway. You were born a Christian, quote unquote. You claimed it. But now, as more and more people are leaving the church, those who are staying are really serious about their faith. One of the sayings we have is that state religion is the great inoculation to true faith. So right now with the pandemic, we can relate to this, the idea of vaccines. And it's a sad idea. But if you think about it, what happened is when everybody's a Christian, it doesn't really mean much. People think they've got their fire insurance card. And you'll say, well, what if you die? Where are you going to go? Well, I was christened. I'm in the church, you know, so I'll be okay. And they never really think deeply. And now people are thinking deeper. So you have, I think, more people of faith in many ways, but less people in the church, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, because our nuns, N-O-N-E-S phenomenon here in the U.S. that Pew and the General Social Survey and Christy and I have been tracking for 5 years, nuns aren't atheists. They're just, many of them are solitary spiritual seekers. They may be religiously disaffiliated, but they're still wide open to spirituality and even to God. Maybe it speaks that, you know, churches need to up the game in the cognitive way they're communicating or whatever. But the fact is that, you know, there are many people who are not in an institutional church, but they really still have spiritual hunger. Now, you've gone all over the world, though, and you have a perspective. You've worked with churches in Germany and France and Thailand. Give us the global work you've done as the executive director of the Missional International Church Network, MICN.org.
Yeah, and Jerry, can I make one more comment on the spirituality here? Yesterday, I had a guy from an alarm company come to my house trying to sell me a home alarm. Mm-hmm. And as we got to talking, I told him what I do. And he said, oh, my fiance is studying theology at the local, this Christian university. I said, oh, great. I said, is she wanting to be a pastor or what? And he said, oh, no, we're not Christians. She's just interested in it, which sure. It's weird, but that's the case here, right?
Yeah.
And he said, but I think there's a God or something. And then he mentioned Jordan Peterson, the psychologist you may know of, and he watches a lot of his videos. And I said, would you like to get together and talk about this sometime? And he said, oh, I'd love that. So I got his phone number. So I think God may have had a purpose in him coming, which was probably not me buying a system. But this is what I mean. There is actually a very openness to discussion here. People don't shut you down. They don't feel threatened, if that makes sense. And I feel like, and I could be wrong. I come back to the U.S., frequently, but I've not been living there in a long time. But I feel like there's almost more of a reaction in the U.S., like negative reaction, whereas here, there's more of an openness. And I think we can capitalize on that. We just have to have the boldness to offer those discussions. Hey, would you like to talk? And you'd be surprised, often people are actually quite willing to discuss those things.
That's very cool. Now, give us an idea of MICN and your work internationally. Yeah.
So we've got churches all over, and it's really exciting. It kind of started out of a church in Indonesia, and that church is an international church with a lot of different missions organizations. And if you know missionaries, they don't always know each other. Like, they'll be in the same city, they don't cooperate sometimes. Right. And so the pastor there began to help them cooperate and work together, and it started a movement. And that movement was baptizing, and still is to this day, over 300 Muslims a month. It was incredible. And it was through this cooperation, through the international church coordinating. It wasn't the international church doing it, but it was the international church bringing people together, casting the vision, bringing unity. And so other international churches heard about this and said, what are you doing? And they were invited to come and see. And that began the Missional International Church Network. So a big part was missional. A lot of international churches in the past were very much kind of a country club for the expat who was living abroad for a few years. And it's a very important we minister to those people, but they weren't always being leveraged to make an impact, to, like Jeremiah says, work for the good of the city you're in. You know, while you're here, what does God want you to do? And that's what this church began to bring kind of an emphasis of, and it spread. And then that pastor, he left Indonesia, his name is Warren Reeve, and he went to Kuwait and had a church of of 20,000 at 85 services on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, I mean, there's some cool things God's doing in the Middle East. But anyhow, that brought MIC into the Middle East. So that stretched us across the 1040 window. And then it's just continued to spread. And that's, you know, the goal is to eliminate isolation. A lot of our pastors are the only English-speaking pastor in an entire city. Like our a friend of mine who works in Bamako, Mali, dealing with jihadists and all kinds of danger and having to figure out security issues. And then there's people like me in Norway, very, very different setting, people in Buddhist and Hindu countries. So it's a real variety, but we're able to work together to try to strengthen them and help them. And it's really exciting. It's exciting as well because what this often does is when you have a church that's working for the good of the city, they build positive relationships with the mayor, the city council, the police, whatever, and they begin to get freedom to do things that Christian missionaries are not even allowed. Or we have churches in a lot of countries where you can't be a missionary, like it's illegal. But the church, the Christians are allowed to meet, even if it's unofficial, and as they build good rapport, they're able to bring the kingdom in a cool way and open up doors. And we've seen God move, and we're seeing God move, and we're seeing some really exciting stuff, like I said, in Muslim countries and communist countries around the world.
Now, David, how did you become executive director of the Missional International Church Network?
I drew the short straw. You know, that's a long story, but to make it short, I've been doing work with the International Baptist Convention. So that's a little bit smaller, you know, group. It's just the Baptist churches that are international for a while. And I ended up going to a conference in Hong Kong to represent the IBC. And it was an exciting conference. At the time, we had Ravi, we had Oz Guinness, and it feels a little odd now, but at the time it was a very exciting thing. And I got to meet all these other international churches, and the leadership of the MICN asked me if I would join them and help them out, because they were still, and they still are, a younger organization. And so I did, and I guess I had some good input, because after about a year or a year and a half, the executive director at the time said, hey, he's closer to retirement age. And he said, I'm ready to step aside. And would you take over? And so we prayed about it. We'd been sensing God was going to lead us to something new. We thought we were going to be moving from Norway to another church. And I was talking to my wife, we've been praying about it. And then when I was asked to take this on, we said, oh, this is what God's been preparing us for. This just, it's my heartbeat. It's leaders and it's international churches. And so that's how we got to this place.
That is fantastic. You know, you have been in X number of countries. I mean, you've traveled all over the world. Give us some of the highlights.
Yeah, so it's been over 80 countries now. It's exciting. You know, it's always exciting we see God move. We were in the Chin State in Burma one time, and this was crazy because we built a hydroelectric power generator to give this village electricity so they could read the Bible and the students could study. And so they asked me to come in person. My wife and I came. They did a 21-gun salute. I had to actually kill the bull. It's like a bull. I mean, it's all this. They had some water, they said, for us to drink. It was fire water. A lot of dancing. They actually literally gave us a quarter of the cow to take home, like on a stick. And my wife and I had to carry it, and we put it in the back of the car. We ended up giving it away to some people in another village because we knew we couldn't do anything with it. We can't put that on the plane. But on the way back from that village, is up in the mountains, very high mountains up in Burma. Our driver was speeding back to town, and my wife was feeling very uncomfortable with the speed. And there's no railings, you know how this is in places like that. And my wife prayed. She said, God, please slow the car down. And I kid you not, the car would slow down, and we started going 20. I think it was miles or kilometers, but I think it was miles. But anyway, I remember it was 20 miles per hour. And the driver was confused. And I'm not kidding. He didn't know what we had done. He's speaking Burmese to our translator. And he starts saying, the car won't go any faster. I'm pushing the pedal all the way down, but it won't go past 20. I don't know what's wrong. And I just smiled and went, wow, you know, look at God answering prayer. So we have some of those God stories like that. That's always a real highlight too.
Indeed it is. And sometimes I wonder if here in the United States and North America, if we have a tendency to miss some of the supernatural because we don't have a faith like many of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are in these other countries that have had their faith tested, and they've learned to trust God and ask God for things that an American Christian typically doesn't ask. What have you learned from believers internationally that's enriched your faith?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you, Jerry. I would say in a lot of ways, Western, even not just American, Norwegian as well, Christians have it too easy.
Yeah.
And so we don't, let me be careful how I say this, understand what I mean. We don't need faith. We do. We absolutely do, but we don't realize we do. And so Christians in other places, you know, they're dependent. And when we're put in those situations, which we've been in some situations that were a little bit scary, we realize we just, all we can do is depend on God, and God comes through. But when we don't allow ourselves to take a step of faith and to be willing to put ourselves in a place where we really have to walk by faith, the sad part is, yes, it feels safe and comfortable. We actually miss out on experiencing what God wants to do. And yeah, I mean, one comes to mind. We've got our regional coordinator in Malawi. This is with Fresh Ministries. He just has such a faith of reaching out for what God's going to do. And we've been supporting the work there to help them have, we always want to build sustainability. But I was down there, and it's the poorest place I've been. Like I said, I've been over 80 countries. I've been in a lot of poor places. I've been in, like, I'm talking, you know, slums of Bogota, this kind of place. But this Malawi, it's bad. It really is rough. And one of the things is when you see the joy of believers, people jumping up and down and people giving money. And I think, and it's not much money, but for them, it's way more than I'm giving proportionally. Sure. And I'm thinking, how? I mean, there's such an excitement, such a joy there. And I feel like Christians in the West, here we are depressed. And I'm not getting, I mean, people need to get mental help, and that's good. It's good we have therapists and all, but it's so sad that we seem like the littlest thing bums out a Christian in the West. And yet here these people are living very difficult lives and yet jumping for joy, saying God is good all the time. And it's really kind of convicting for me, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I've been there in numerous international situations where you look at the U.S. and you say that, you know, Philippians 1:29 says, unto you it's given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. We've had too little suffering. We're not tough. We don't know how to stand when adversity comes. And we're not employing our faith like we should. Now, you have your genesis was here at HBU. And we both know that the hand of the Lord is on Houston Baptist University. What was the spiritual takeaway from HBU, and how has that helped you in your trajectory in ministry?
You know, I love my time at HBU. I was a part of Bucks, Brothers Under Christ, which was great. But I also met some great mentors. And I would say, I mean, in many ways, Jerry, there's so many things I could say, great classes and things I learned, but it was really some of the personal relationships. It's people like Dr. Wofford, and I'm thinking about like Salim, Kayla, you know, that just made such an impact, became lifelong friends. Randy Hatchett, I still see him and love to meet up with him. Clay Porter, these people that just, it was just such a sense that they actually cared about me and respected me when I had nothing to my name. I was just a student trying to learn, and yet they believed in me and they saw the potential. And I mean, I see that with all the students. You know, there was just a sense of respect and a sense of care. And it's been great since then. Again, lifelong relationships. Salim is one that I've actually taken with me to places like Tanzania, Switzerland, Norway to speak, because he just does a phenomenal job. You know, he coordinates, I think he still coordinates chapel there at HBU. Yes, and so, yeah, that's a huge takeaway, just that feeling like you're part of the family.
Well, you know, and people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I'm grateful that in the 200 plus podcasts that I filmed over HBU, if there's any word that's been used to convey the university, it's a very unique word. It's the word family. And as you and I know, David, nothing brings more endearment to you in a single word than the word family. Yep. HBU cares. Now, I want you to just tell us how we can sink into your ministry and follow you so that we can be aware of where you are now and the ever-expanding work you're going to be doing as the world heals from COVID and we move on.
Oh, thanks, Jerry. There's a couple things that are really close to my heart right now. One, we've got work with Fresh Ministries in a number of countries, like I mentioned, Zimbabwe and Zambia and all. But one of our big projects is Malawi right now. And we have dug or drilled 3 wells, and we've built 4 chicken coops. The kids there had no protein in their diets at all. Cholera was rampant. There was a lot of children dying. We have eliminated cholera with the wells we've drilled. And we've gotten protein in the diets with the eggs. And this is all sustainable stuff, because as they sell the broiler chickens that are raised, they're making money back to pay for more feed for the chickens and to then keep replacing them. And it's actually generating income so that they have school supplies, things like that. But we still need to build a couple more chicken coops, because we have 6 villages we're supporting, and drill 3 more wells. And then there's a lot more work. But here's the cool thing. We are actually the largest egg producer in southern Malawi already. That's not to say how great we are. That's to say how poor this place is. Yeah. So if people would like to donate or get involved, or a church, if they want to take a mission trip when COVID's over, we have people that would love to engage. There's a lot of things that can be done with hygiene, medical, playing with children who really have no one, a lot of orphans. So we'd love to get you engaged, get people engaged, even personally, physically, and also financially, to take on and help these villages. It's real people, and connect you with the leader there and let you see what's going on. On the global scale, I'm excited we can get everything back off the ground in person again with international churches. We've got some really cool opportunities around the world. So if there are people out there that want to be engaged in global missions and they don't know where to start, or they have a country on their heart, but they don't know, how do I do ministry in country X? We would love to talk about that. We're helping a church right now in Midland, who has said they want to do more international ministry. And they asked me for some proposals. And so I worked with our churches to find some things that would fit what they were looking for them to invest in the Muslim world, in communist countries, some really neat things. And so we can work with churches or people that are wondering, how can we engage in global missions? Well, these international churches, they're already there. They have the relationships. They understand the culture. So they can help make sure that whatever you do is culturally appropriate. Because Jerry, I know you and I both know that sometimes missionaries do more harm than good. And they'll protect you from that. And also just make sure you get the most bang for your buck. So we'd love to engage either with work in Malawi or in some developing countries with Fresh Ministries, or with MICN around the world. And if people want to get in touch with me, they're welcome to email me. It's just simply david@micn.org.
And David, is there a website or Facebook page that we can direct folks to?
MICN.org is probably the easiest place to start. We've got all of the different organizations in my church have websites and Facebook pages, but to not overwhelm everybody with data, they can check out MICN or just email me, and then I'll be happy to direct them whatever they want to get in touch with.
Very good. David@micn.org, and that's based on Missional International Church Network, micn.org. David@micn.org. David Fresh, we are so proud of you and so proud to have you representing not only our university, but Jesus Christ in the many places that you are doing that. And we look forward in the future to connect with you further and to help you and hopefully encourage you. David's another reason why HBU is a unique opportunity for you to begin your career, academic, but not just academic. When you build the entire person, particularly that spiritual nature, you are going to go from victory to victory, and you're going to have the resiliency, or as Angela Duckworth wrote in her best-selling book, Grit, you're going to have the grit to keep on keeping on. You can learn more about HBU at hbu.edu/admissions. Call one of our counselors and let them talk to you at 281-649-3211. Any question is appropriate. Our graduate school, hbu.edu/grad, G-R-A-D, or 289-649-3269. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can be a student at Houston Baptist Online. Learn about all of our digital online opportunities, scores of different courses toward degrees, hbuonline.com, 1-855-428-1960. David, I can't wait till we get together in person.
I hope we can do this in person at some point.
I know Dr. Sloan and our entire team just want you to know that you are a blessing to have many, and just keep on shining, brother.
Thank you so much, Jerry. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.